Welcome to episode 260 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us, listener. Today is a snow show special, and that's because last week I was at the London Snow Show at Kensington Olympia, and just before that at the industry networking event Listex. Now, I love these events because you get to catch up with so many people, and in this episode, I'm going to include several of those conversations, including with the UK's number one ski racer, Dave Riding, and BBC ski presenter, Shemi Alcott. Keeping the Olympic theme, we'll hear from Pat Sharples, GB Snowsport head coach, the Carrick Smith brothers, and BBC commentator Tim Warwood. We'll also find out more about how testing went for the Carve 2 team in Chile this summer, about Snowcamp's latest project, and plenty of other exhibitors from the show, including some regular contributors. Now, my name's Ian Martin, and normally I'm joined by guests in the studio, but all of the conversations in this episode were recorded live at the London Snow Show. The acoustics in the hall were not perfect, but hopefully it will give you a sense of the dynamic atmosphere. Now, before we move on to this week's episode, I'd like to thank Tyrol in Austria for sponsoring the Ski Podcast this winter. It means I can keep producing episodes like this, and we all have the chance to find out more about some of the great destinations in Tyrol. We've already heard about Innsbruck in episode 257 and San Johann in Tyrol in episode 259. Next up is a huge ski veld area, which we will cover in episode 262. So make sure you tune in for that. Today, I'm going to start off with a little bit of news about another snow show. Regular listeners may recall back in episode 248, we looked at plans to redevelop the closed Sheffield ski village. Well, the guys from Revive Rewild, who are behind that project, are bringing skiing back to the city next month with their own snow show. I spoke with Sam Croft to find out more about it. I'm with Sam Croft at the London Snow Show. We're I've discovered that you're about to set up your own snow show a bit further north in Sheffield. I think the official name is the Revive Sheffield Ski Village Snow Show, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to have, you know, a pretty big trade show outside Sheffield Cathedral alongside the Sheffield Adventure Film Festival. Now up there, we're going to have a nice big rail jam set up. We're going to have riders hitting tricks. We're going to have DJs shouting them out. And we're going to have a whole bunch of fun for everyone to come.
Cool. And I think if listeners listen to episode 259, I think it was, we had Amelie from Jibworks, who was at the Icebreaker City Skim at the time. Jibworks are going to create that setup for you.
So it's not that exact setup. They're going to bring either the ramp or the bus. We haven't decided yet. And then from there, we're going to have a kicker, rails, flat ground tricks, anything that riders really want that we can fit in the space.
Cool. And the dates are the 14th and 15th of November?
Yeah, so it's Friday and Saturday, and it'll be the full day Saturday, and then the SHAF events are the evenings on both.
Cool. And it's called the Revive Sheffield Ski Village. There's a clue in the name to your ultimate goal. You know, we've discussed about this on the podcast before. It used to be an absolutely amazing ski feature in Sheffield. Your ultimate goal is to work towards that?
Yeah, so we're working with council and developers to try and get this whole big thing going around it. We really want the slope back. I wasn't lucky enough to actually ride it before it got burnt down. But Pete, who I'm working with, he used to work there. He knows it. And the videos that are there and the stories that I've heard are just unreal. And we want to bring that back.
Cool. Well, I think a brilliant start would be putting something on in Sheffield again for the snow sports community. So well done to you for making that happen. And hopefully you can send us an update after it's happened to let us know how it went.
Yeah, will do.
Cool. All right. Thanks very much, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Right. Let's track back to the London show. Racing was a big theme of the show, with Dave Riding the main draw. It was fantastic to see the queue for autographs on the Gurgle stand. I know Dave kept signing way longer than the original hour that was allocated. I caught up with him earlier in the day to ask how things are looking for this final season before retirement. Always good to catch up with Dave Riding here at the London Snow Show. How do you feel your training's going at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, everything you'd say is in the right place, ticking boxes, just taking care of the now. But yeah, the body feels good, mind's in the right place, and all in all, can't complain. So.
And I know, you know, it's tempting to say, oh, you're just looking at the next race, but obviously it is an Olympic year. Do you have a kind of aspiration for the Olympics?
I think the simple aspiration is to just try and better what I've done before in Olympic Games. I had the same sort of mindset for the World Champs to better my ninth place in RA, and I managed that with a sixth, so try and better my ninth place from Pyeongchang in Milan, and let's see, but yeah, just going there to do my best, really.
Cool, that would be great. I think I recently interviewed Reese Bell,
yeah,
and her dad, Martin Bell. He was eighth, I think. So that's the best ever Alpine result by a GB male skier. That would be your target, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I've never done skiing to sort of knock off British, like, whatever, like results for Brits or whatever like that. I've done it for my personal achievements, but yeah, people talk about that as well, and yeah, it's one of the things that is maybe still to do, but I respect a lot of what Martin did in his career, so I'm not going out there to better anything Martin's done. I'm just going out there to do my best and see what that brings me.
And Reese also mentioned to me that you've been helping mentor her a little bit along the way, and she found your advice really helpful.
Yeah, so I work with Apex, with three of their athletes, with mentorship, and it's something that I might look to do in the future. But yeah, any knowledge I can pass on to Reese as being one of them is something that I like doing, and it also stimulates me for the next chapter of my life, because yeah, obviously racing for another 4 months, we'll see what I do after that, but hopefully nurturing the next generation is a big part of it.
Cool, well, you've got so much experience, I think it's fantastic that you're giving a bit of that back to the younger racers coming through. Thanks very much, Dave.
No, I appreciate it, thanks.
Dave was interviewed on the main stage by BBC Ski Sunday's Shemi Alcott. She had her own following of fans queuing up for selfies. I asked her how she keeps her energy levels so high.
I'm here with Shemi Alcott at the London Snow Show. Wow, it's been a pretty exhausting first day, but you seem to be able to keep your energy up the whole time. How do you do that?
I just think it's important to deliver to the one event that we get every year where our community comes together. And I think that you can always give enough energy as long as you know that you can sleep it off later. And I am a day person. I do drink a lot of coffee, but I want to give my all to everyone. I should be going to bed completely spent every day, because that's what these people deserve. This is the only time we ever get together. So we've got to talk, we've got to network, we've got to dance, we've got to chat.
Yeah, it's been brilliant, and it's been busy here today. No busier than the last session of the day when you were interviewing Dave Riding, Billy Major and Laurie Taylor. Last time we met, we were talking about, you know, British prospects for the Olympics, but I thought this was really interesting. You did it in a slightly different way. Instead of just kind of straight questions, you were getting behind the scenes and getting them to expose their personality a little bit more.
Yeah, so I decided to do an inspirational interview at the beginning so that they all had their time to talk about goals and all the pressure that we want to hear about. But then I wanted to get behind the scenes, so I did Mr. and Mrs. Slalom British Ski Team style. And I thought that it would, I know they're naturally really competitive together, so I thought this would bring out a bit of edge and we would see a different personality from them, and we did. And actually they told a lot of stories that they probably never told before.
And what did we learn from them today then?
We learned that Billy is unashamedly competitive, like world domination. We learned that Laurie needs to harness the fire inside him, that actually sometimes it can be detrimental and he has to find that full throttle but consistency. And I mean, we'll never learn more from Dave, because Dave is an open book. He is that man that we all want to be our best friend, because that's what he gives to us.
Cool. Well, it was great to see them, and you know, you really got a lot out of them. We've got another day tomorrow.
I'm chatting with you.
We're going to be chatting, finding about Mount Etna as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks very much, Jimmy.
Me too.
After Dave Riding's appearance on Saturday, Sunday saw the next generation of GB snow sports athletes, Zach, Freddie, and Luca Carrick-Smith, join us at the show. Regular listeners will know that the Ski Podcast is supporting the Carrick-Smith brothers in their journey. Last year, they were on the Europa Cup circuit, but Freddie has been selected for his first World Cup event at the Giant Slalom in Solden this weekend. He told us about that in last week's episode, but let's have a reminder of what he said.
Hey, it's Freddie Carrick-Smith here. I just want to say a quick thank you to the Ski Podcast for having me. I also want to say I will be competing in my first ever World Cup in Solden in around 3 weeks. So I'm really excited for that. I found out, like, I think it was a month ago or something. After last season, I knew I had a good few results. So I knew it was definitely possible, and we just needed GB to accept me. So I will be competing there, and also maybe in some more World Cups after the first World Cup. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to this. It's a big jump up from where I've been skiing, and we'll see what happens. I'm just going to go out and ski as fast as I can on that first one, because the first one is the one that counts. I'm just going to push it, and yeah, no expectations. But I'm looking forward to it.
Shemi interviewed the Carrick-Smith brothers at the London show and asked them about the influence of their parents. Emma, who represented Team GB at four Winter Olympics, and Phil, who runs his own ski school.
They have put so much into your career, lived and breathed every journey. What qualities do you all think that you get from them?
Okay, well, I'd say I'm quite similar to my mum. We're both very, very competitive and we have to be the best. Of course, it's an upside. You work hard, you train hard and everyone. But it's also quite difficult because when you get beaten, when you lose, it's very difficult to deal with. So I got that, and of course my mum's the most driven person ever. She competed in four Olympics and is still coaching us to this day, so.
Does that competition with Emma filter through, like if you're playing Monopoly, do you do like Monopoly to the death?
No, for me it's just for skiing. The rest of it is just all enjoyment, but in skiing, yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
Well, I'd say I'm more like my dad, just a bit chill. Just take it as it comes, and yeah, I've got an open mindset, so I think my dad just teaches skiing differently to everyone else, and like, you have to do something different to be better than everyone else, so that's my mindset, and I don't really care about the result as long as I enjoy it. And well, it's both my parents, they coach us, and they both bring like different things to the table. My mum, she's got all the contacts, and she does our skis, and my dad, well, yeah, same.
Your mum does your skis?
Well, yeah, my mum does mine and his skis, and then my dad does Lucas' skis, so.
Who's better at doing skis then? Who does your skis more?
Emma and Phil, when I'm not with mum.
Wow, this is amazing. You parents are incredible.
I know that audio quality wasn't perfect, but I think it does give you a good insight into the Carrick-Smiths. And you might have noticed at the end there that Shemi addressed a question to Molly Butler, the very promising young British skier who trains with them as well. Also at the show was Pat Sharples, head coach for GB Snowsport. Now, I've known Pat for over 20 years, but with his schedule, we rarely get to catch up these days. I asked him for his thoughts on Team GB's chances for medals at this winter's Milano Cortina Winter Olympics.
This is so exciting for me. I'm here with Pat Sharples, head coach of GB Snowsport. We've known each other for a very long time. We haven't seen each other face to face for ages. There's so many things I'd like to ask you, but I guess we've got to think about the Olympics. You know, Milan Cortina, you've got some great chances for medals. Who, if I had to put you on the spot, you know, who would you put at the top of your list for that?
I think for this game, it's the ones that have been consistent this last year. I think right now, you know, Zoe Atkin, who's current world champion, is looking really, really strong. Performing well in training and again very consistent across the World Cup circuit last year.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, the incredibly talented Mia Brooks, you know, she's been grafting, it showcased her as well, like she's equally good in big air as slope style as well. And then you've got the likes of Charlotte Banks as well in border cross. Obviously, coming back from an injury at the moment, she's rehabbing.
Yeah.
Again, she had a fantastic year. Right across all the disciplines, you know, the alpine athletes, the cross-country guys.
Cool. What can I ask, what about Kirsty Neuer? Because, you know, she was our highest performer last time round at Beijing. How do you see her chances?
Yeah, so Kirsty skied really well. She had a good year last year, won a World Cup coming back in teens. She did miss a year due to injury. So she's still playing catch-up. You know, there's a year's a long time and the sport's developed a lot, but she's still right up there and she's working hard.
Cool. Well, you know, it's so good to see you again and to chat. And, you know, I've chatted with Vicky before on the podcast. You know, we're really hoping for a successful Games. We've got an incredibly talented bunch of athletes and some great coaches as well. That's brilliant, Pat. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
I interviewed Pat in depth about his career and his journey to becoming head coach back in 2021. If you'd like to listen to that, I'll drop a link in the show notes. Also at the Games will be BBC's Tim Warwood. He'll be commentating on all the freestyle events from Livigno. So I asked him the same question about GB chances.
Right, here with Tim Warwood at the London Snow Show. You're going to be doing your very famous question of snow a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But this winter, big winter, Olympics here, you'll be out in Livigno?
Yes, heading out for the 3 weeks with Ed and the BBC squad and very much looking forward to it.
Cool. And, you know, we are very optimistic. Got some amazing athletes out there in the freestyle, your area, hoping we'll bring home some medals. Do you want to, you know, have a shout out, take a pick for who you think might be able to do that?
Okay, let me caveat everything I say first by saying the Italians have gone so big on this freestyle program in the run-up to these, well, in the last 8 years. So you've got the Tabanelli brother and sister combo. They're going to be unstoppable, but whether they can handle the pressure on home soil is going to be the difference, okay? But if you're looking for British medals, look no further than Kirsty Muir. She's coming back to form. She's got nothing to prove. She's got no pressure on her shoulders. And when she skis with no pressure on her shoulders, she's unbeatable, as she proved when she came back for the World Cup win in teen. So I think Kirsty's going to get a medal. I'm not sure what colour. Charlotte Banks, board across. She needs that Olympic gold. It's the only thing left that she doesn't have in the medal cabinet.
She's also coming back from injury, right?
Yeah, and again, you know, she's so strong-minded and strong-willed. The only person that's going to beat Charlotte Banks is Charlotte Banks herself.
So, and how about Mia Brooks?
Mia Brooks has some work to do, and I say that in the nicest possible sense because I love Mia. But have you seen women snowboarding at the moment? It is ridiculous. Yeah. The Japanese girls are going to take some beating. But Mia has the style. She's got a big bag of tricks. And actually, she can surprise us all like she did at the World Champs.
Cool. Well, we'll all be tuning in, Tim, to your commentary. Because
thank you.
I love, you know, the combination of your technical knowledge and that enthusiastic style that you bring to it every time.
Oh, thank you very much.
If you'd like to hear more from Tim, I've also interviewed him about his journey from Tamworth to multiple Olympic Games. We spoke back in 2023, and I've put a link to that in the show notes as well. The Ski Podcast was also on stage during the show. Regular listeners will know the voice of our equipment expert, Al Morgan. We started off the show with a session about how to choose the right kit for you. I spoke to Al just afterwards.
Right, I'm here with Al Morgan, our equipment expert. We've just done our introductory session, tips on how to pick the best equipment for this season. How do you think it went, Al?
You know what? It was really nice. It was the first talk of the day, and way more people turned up for it than I thought, and it got busier and busier, and people just seemed really engaged. We went through it really quick, though.
Yeah. I mean, normally we get like 45 minutes, an hour to cover each topic, and we had 45 minutes to do skis, ski boots, helmets, gloves, goggles. I think that was it. Old socks.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot. But you know what? If it helps people choosing when they're getting their new kit and then go around the show, it's so good to be here and see all these resorts, all these holiday companies, there's hardware brands, there's retailers, and just people can really get their excitement going for the season that's ahead of us.
Cool, well that's brilliant. Thanks for joining me today, Al. It's always a pleasure. I wish I had the level of insight that you do, but if we keep doing this podcast, one day I will.
Yeah, I think so.
We covered socks during our presentation, and just afterwards I spoke with Tord Nielsen from Stance Socks about their range.
Right, I'm with Tord Nielsen, head of marketing at Stance at the London Snow Show. Al and I just did our presentation about the best kit and how to choose it. We did talk about socks. Not as sexy as buying skis, but as Al said, probably the most important thing, because you need to make sure your feet are warm. One of the points he made was thicker socks aren't necessarily going to make your feet warmer, and that's a really important part when you're choosing a sock, right?
Yeah, I think it a lot of it comes down to personal preference as well. You know, we see a lot of snowboarders really liking a mid-cushion, like a more cushioned sock. A skier likes more of a light or an ultra-light sock. And it comes down to personal preference, like I said, but also, you know, you want to be in contact with your boot, which is in contact with your ski. And that is really important to make sure that that's a nice flow of power and pressure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I believe you told me I'm wearing the ultralight sock. That really works, I think. I mean, I'm actually wearing it casually now because I quite like them as compression socks, recovery socks. I went for a run this morning, you know, but I'm using them. But when I'm skiing, I feel like I've got more contact with the boot.
Yeah, that's definitely the case, for sure, because you will undoubtedly have less fabric there. It really works with your foot. We make our socks in our own factory. So we have our own factory in China that we fully own and run. And what we can do there is we make everything. A lot of socks are made on a flat surface. We make ours around elast, so it's stitched around a metal foot, essentially. And what that means is that there's no seams, there's no kind of issues with when it sits very tight in a ski boot, as we know it does.
Yeah. And another thing I really like about the Stance range is you've got a lot of these amazing collabs. When I did my pick earlier for the socks, I picked out the one which I think it might, the official name might be the Shaolin Wu-Tang or something.
Yeah.
Got an amazing design on there. How do you line up all of those collaborations?
Yeah, I mean, it's above my pay grade, I'll tell you that much. But we do work with some amazing, not just musical artists, but also we work a lot with Disney. And other things, we're doing a really cool national parks range this year across hike and snow. So that's kind of giving some of the money back into the national parks in the US as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Wu-Tangs or the Biggie Smalls. They're pretty rad.
Yeah, cool. Well, I mean, what I really like about that is like socks probably aren't normally part of your fashion, but you know, strolling around the chalet with a statement sock is pretty cool. That's brilliant, Todd. Thanks so much.
No worries.
One of the techier bits of kit we talked about in our presentation was the Carve 2. Listener, if you don't know this piece of kit already, you should listen to my interview with the founder, Jamie Grant, and I'll put that link in the show notes. But I spoke at the show with co-founder and VP of marketing, Alex Jackson. Alex told me about the challenges that his team faced when they went out to Chile this summer for testing.
So I'm here with Alex Jackson from Carve at the London Snow Show. You've got a stand out there that's looking pretty busy. Telling people about Carve too. I was interested. I was seeing that your team were out in Chile this summer for us, winter for them. They were doing a lot of testing. How long were they out there for?
So they were out there for, depending on who's in the team out there, 2 to 4 weeks. So like a serious trip for us. I mean, the biggest challenge, obviously, in being a UK ski company making a product like Carve is we have to develop it and test it, and we have to do that all year round. And so in summer, it's like, it's crazy the stuff we have to do to test. We're testing in dry slopes, we're testing in like rolling mats, we're going out to Chile, and we're also even testing on rollerblades sometimes, just to get a sense of like how it's playing.
Cool, and like, I know from, I watched a reel on your Instagram that out in Chile, the conditions were, well, variable, shall we say. When you first got out there, there wasn't really any snow, and then it's pretty hard to test, right?
Oh my god, especially if you're trying to test powder.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things we're trying to work on is, instead of having one algorithm that tries to cater to every terrain, one of the things we were developing is basically an algorithm that says, what terrain are we in? Let's coach specifically for that. Now, that's easy on groomers, but we're looking to test that powder and moguls. It was very low tide in Chile. There was very little snow out there, so that's one of the little challenges that we face.
Halfway through the trip, the snow did come in, so you did manage to get your testing done. But, you know, one of the things that you're dealing with is, like, a huge amount of data. I think you've got over a billion turns worth of data that you can analyse now. But I think in the office they had in Chile, they had a very binary choice in terms of what they were able to do, because something about the power wouldn't allow you to make a cup of coffee and have Wi-Fi at the same time.
Yeah, it's one of these funny things on seas about building a business. Like, it's definitely not as glamorous as it sounds, but we're kind of scrappy still, and we're still quite small. So, you know, we book the best accommodation that we can, but ultimately Chile isn't set up for a room of 20 people coding and developing. So, like, the moment you turn on the kettle, the Wi-Fi gets tripped, and the moment you turn the kettle off, the Wi-Fi's back on, because everyone's computers are plugged in and everyone's coding and busy, so they're not used to that. So
yeah, a bit of a challenge. Well, that's really interesting, Alex. We're going to have you on the show a little bit later on in the autumn, where we'll go into a bit more detail about some of the developments for this winter. But that's great. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Also exhibiting at the show was Snowcamp. Let's hear from another voice regular listeners will know, Dan Keeley, who told me about the new Snowcamp Futures project. I'm here with Dan Keeley from Snowcamp at the London Snow Show. Yesterday you told us about a really exciting new project called Snowcamp Futures. Do you just want to elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, Snowcamp Futures. So in many respects, it's doing what we've always done, but in a much, much more structured and a deeper way, in a sense. So for every young person that completes the core Snowcamp journey, which a lot of people know about, you've got the beginner, intermediate and advanced programme, which culminates in the Alps. But you know, here I'm looking around the room, we've got all the apprentices, but we've got many young people returning as volunteers because they live and breathe snow camp, but they need that extra year, that extra year of support to get into the snow sports industry. So whether that's insight opportunities, workshops, you know, just inspiration afternoons, whatever it may be, you know, it's go even deeper with our connections with our industry partners.
So you're looking to get people like a longer term jobs, yeah, permanent jobs in the industry. Yeah. How's feedback been on that so far?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, like, you know, the three outcomes of SnowCamp have always been life skills, qualifications and career opportunities or, yeah, vacation opportunities. So, you know, getting a career in the industry is the North Star. But, you know, whether it's part-time work or, you know, an internship.
So if someone within the industry or anyone, you know, who could offer an internship to a SnowCamp graduate, how would they find out more about SnowCamp Futures?
Yeah, cheers, Ian. Oh, well, you know, head to our website, snow-camp.org.uk.
Cool. All right, that's brilliant, Dan. Thanks very much.
Just by the SnowCamp stand, I bumped into Ian Brown from the Snow Centre. They didn't have a stand at the show, but Ian told me about a great deal they had for show visitors.
So I've got a regular on the show, Ian Brown, CEO of the Snow Centre, with me just now. You were just explaining to me how people can, there's a way that people can get an hour of slope time at the Snow Centre at the show here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my other head on today. I'm chairman of SnowCamp, which is a great charity that I'm sure many of you know. And this weekend, if you donate £5 to SnowCamp, and they've got all the information on their stand, and you can have a 1 hour lift pass for Manchester or for Hemel.
Cool, that sounds very good value. How much is it normally?
About £40, so it's a good deal.
Fantastic. So the charity, SnowCamp, who we've covered before, do well out of it. And, you know, it's a bargain for everyone else. I guess people are going to be listening to this after the show has finished, but hopefully lots of people will take it up. That's great. And just a quick question. You rebranded. You know, I'm looking at a fantastic logo on your top now. How is the whole change with what used to be Chill Factory and Snow Centre going?
Oh, it's been amazing. So positive. The team, really excited by it. Customers, real positive feedback. Website, really, you know, high traffic, big, good engagement coming into winter. Real success so far.
I got one other question for you. If listeners listen to episode 259, they will have heard Amelie from Jidwork saying how they borrowed 70 tons of snow from the Snow Centre. We wondered if you would have had enough left. How did you get around that?
Well, they asked us several weeks ago, and funny enough, we've done it for the ski shows and things before. So all we do is we make extra snow for sort of 4 or 5 weeks leading up to the event, so we have enough that we can push out for the lorries to take them to the event.
Yeah, I didn't really think you would run out. That's brilliant, Ian. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Another voice listeners will recognise from our Best Ski Boots episode a couple of weeks ago is Fraser Shand. He was on the Pro Feet stand where I caught him during a rare quiet period.
I'm here with Fraser Shand from Pro Feet on the Pro Feet stand at the London Snow Show. Regular listeners will know his voice because he was on our Ski Boots episode not very long ago. How have you found it today, Fraser, with people coming by?
It's been fantastic. As you might be able to tell by my voice, it's a little hoarse. A lot of people through the door. It's been a really, really good day.
Cool. And you're not actually selling boots here today. You're more kind of offering an advisory service and letting people know the importance of getting their boots fitted.
Yes. So we've got examples of low, medium, high volume boots, including a free ride touring boot. Just explaining the fitting process, explaining how those different volumes, how the different sizes work, as well as some example liners and basically just highlighting what we stock and how we work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Al and I were over on the equipment stage a little bit earlier on this morning, and I think one of the points we stressed is that, you know, with a ski boot, if you're going to invest that much money, you need to make sure that you get it fitted correctly. And I guess that's what you're explaining to people today?
Yeah, basically. The ski boot can make a break holiday. The process of what we go through to get that, the biomechanical assessment that we do, the data that we collect, all goes into the pot for us to get you into the best possible fit. From there, it's go skiing, and we offer a full guarantee, and we can tweak and work with
you. We talked to that before about the modifications, which you very kindly did on my boot because of my very wide feet. Cool, that's brilliant, Fraser. I'll let you get back to your customers, but thank you very much.
No problem.
Next is a first timer at the London show, but not for the podcast. Regular listeners may recognise Erin Flynn from the clothing brand Ruinua from episode 234 earlier this year.
Right, I'm with Erin Flynn from Ruinua. Very exciting to see your stand here, because we chatted earlier in the year about your first collection, but this is your second collection, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's great to have eyes on it before we launch it, and it's been a really good reception, so we can't wait to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been going, well, blimey, it's 4:30 already. You've sold quite a few already today, right?
I know, yeah. So thank you, Ian, for giving us the advice to bring more product, because we've actually been selling out. So we're having to try one colour on and then order the next one for people. So it's a great first round.
Cool. And, you know, people listening to this, the show will have finished by now. They can obviously find your new collection on your website,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's ruinua.com. So it's Ruinua. And we also have Instagram. We're on TikTok. Find us everywhere in London.
What I particularly like in your collection are those reversible hats over there.
Everyone is obsessed with the reversible hats. Like, we keep saying them. We're saying them to women, men, and kids. They're really one for all.
You told me you were out in Hintertux last week and they're very popular with snowboarders.
Yeah, we were not expecting that market at all, but we had a few guys who really wanted them, so we were giving them to them.
Cool. Well, I hope you sell out of everything, and lovely to catch up with you face to face.
Exactly. Great to see you again.
I noticed that the Icon Pass had a huge stand at the show, and I spoke to Jenny O'Farrell about why they were targeting the UK market.
I'm here with Jenny O'Farrell from Icon Pass. We were just chatting. Evidently, there's a lot of Americans coming over to Europe using the Icon Pass to ski places like Chamonix and Zermatt. But what you've seen here at the London show is that there's an increasing number of British people, Europeans, wanting to go the opposite direction.
Absolutely. They're starting to see the value in purchasing an Icon Pass instead of a day pass. There are several different reasons. One, because the day pass in the United States and also in Canada and the resorts is increasing, quite frankly. And that can be somewhat of an expensive proposition if you're buying at the window. So what you do is you buy the Icon Pass, and in approximately 6 to 7 days, depending on the resort in question, you can get your value out of the Icon Pass.
Sure, and also it works really well if you're looking at one of those itineraries. Like, one I would love to do is to ski Utah, then go up to Jackson Hole, Big Sky, Sun Valley. You can do that sort of thing, and evidently all your skiing would be included on the one pass.
That's absolutely correct. Not only included on the one pass, but direct to lift. So once you go to the first resort, pick up the pass and put it around your neck, you just run up to the lift and get on the chair and go skiing. So absolutely, yes. I want to point out that doing that, you've got 6 in Colorado, easy access to each other. You've got 6 in Utah, also easy access. As you just said, Ian, you could do that multi-state, multi-destination. And then let's not forget Western Canada, because the Brits love Revelstoke, Sun Peaks, Red Mountain, Banff. What am I missing out here? All of those good ones in Western Canada as well. So you can truly make it into a bucket list ski safari using the Icon.
Sure, do that and combine it with a trip in Europe as well, where you can do Chamonix, Zermatt, Dolomiti, or even Val d'Aosta was added this year as well, wasn't
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely it was. Or go dance on the bar top in Italy. So you have lots of different opportunities.
Cool. That's great, Jenny. Thank you very much.
You may have noticed that my voice was struggling somewhat by this stage. As well as generally wandering around and chatting to people about this sport that we love, across 3 days at ListX and the show, I moderated panels about diversity, sustainability, I delivered presentations about ski kit and driving electric cars to the Alps, and I was interviewee for a change when Shemi Alcott quizzed me about my ski touring adventure on the live volcano of Mount Etna. By the time the show finished on Sunday, my voice was pretty much finished as well. There was still time to speak with one man who was probably even more shattered than me, show organiser James Gambrell. Now, if you listen to episode 256, you'll know that this is his first year running the show, and I asked him his thoughts on how it had gone.
I'm here with James Gambrell, organiser of the London Snow Show. So good to be back here in Olympia. We're on the second day now. How do you feel it's gone, James?
I am absolutely delighted. You never know with the show until you open the doors how successful it's going to be. We put an awful lot of effort into making sure the show was full of features, full of things to do, making sure that it was a proper show again. and that seems to have worked. We've had lots of people through the door. The guys at the front within the Stone magazine brought 5,000 max, and they were gone by pretty much first thing this morning. So next year they'll be doubling that order. All the talk theatres have been really nice and busy. We've got 4 talk theatres here. That's been
I'll back that up. I've been on a couple of the stages and they've been busy, but I know at the same time the other ones have been really busy as well, and it's kind of spread out, you know, between them all. I think yesterday the highlight was Dave riding for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Dave Session was back, so we had Dave and Billy and Laurie, so everybody wanted to come and see them. And then we've got the Carricksmiths and Molly Butler today, so the next generation. But as you say, Ian, I think what's really noticeable is the atmosphere here. Olympia is an amazing venue. We've got, well, London sunlight streaming through the roof. But it just makes a huge difference having this hall, having this space. We've got lots going on with Snow Show Radio, lots of activity, and it just feels like there's a real buzz around the show again. Cool. So I couldn't be happier.
Well, it's brilliant, James. Thanks for putting on. Thanks for bringing it back to Olympia. And here's next year.
Absolutely. We'll be back 2026.
So overall, I thought it was a very successful show. Hopefully this episode has given you a taste for what it was like. Now, we're moving towards the end of this week's episode. I enjoy all feedback about the show. Love to hear what you think. So please do contact me via Facebook or Instagram at The Ski Podcast, or by email, theskipodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on WhatsApp. Just look in the show notes for that link. Now, we've had some feedback since the last episode. Toby Freeborn said, really enjoyed episode 259. Looking forward to hearing about Austria in the future, especially as I'm planning to head there next winter. Aileen Eglinton also enjoyed episode 259. She said, I love San Johan in Tirol. I've been going there for a very long time. It's a great town. And George, Hoopsy and Hannes in the Blue Ski School are legends. And Grandpur on YouTube said, as I was watching the Best Ski Boots episode, he's watching that on the Skipedia YouTube channel, I heard the thud of the Full Line 2026 gear guide dropping through my letterbox. Comprehensive as always, but it was great to hear about it as well. There are now 278 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with. 158 of those were listened to in the last week. There is so much to listen to in our back catalogue. Just go to theskipodcast.com. Search around the tags and categories, you are bound to find something of interest to you. In the last week, 55% of our listeners were in the UK, 20% in the States, and everyone else tuned in from across the globe, including Indonesia, India, and Argentina. And by the way, listener, I'm pleased to say we have new stickers back in stock. So if you would like a Ski Podcast sticker for your helmet, skis, phone, wherever you want to stick it, then just drop me an email with your address and I'll get some out to you. Otherwise, if you would like to help the Ski Podcast, there are 3 things you can do. You can follow us or subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or leave a comment on Spotify. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget, you can save money on your ski hire with an additional discount by using the code SKIPODCAST when you book at InSportRent.com. You can simply take the link in the show notes and your discount will automatically be applied. Right. For now, I'd like to thank everybody who gave up their time to speak to me at the show, as well as to the organisers, James and Babsy, for making it all happen. I'd like to thank Tirol in Austria for sponsoring the podcast. And finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.